Blog Talk Radio.
I just learned this morning at 9 a.m. that we lost one of my neighbors. And I want to ask each and every one of you who believe in prayer to pray for the Lambergelli family and for all our neighbors here. For Charlie, for Susan, for Mocha and Beth, for Dora, for Sandy, and all of Erica's friends, I ask that you keep us in prayer for us to get the strength that we need to carry on. She just, we lost her. She went into the hospital only 2 weeks ago. And then she went home to be with the Lord at 4 a.m. this morning. So we ask for your prayers. I also ask you, I had asked my Facebook community back on Sunday to pray for the Lima family who also have lost their son, Michael. And Michael was like a brother to my son, Givonte. And also his brother, Bruno. Those three were like brothers. So, you know, between Sunday and today, I've lost two people who have been close and dear to me. So I ask you for your prayers, but I would not let that prevent me from coming on the air to spend this time with you and to just continue to allow God to use me in the ways that he chooses to do so. So the first thing I want to do this morning is to share with you from my book, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And the contribution for May 16th, the title is The Sweetest Sight, The Sweetest Word. It was 12:53 p.m. when my baby appeared from his mother's belly. My first thought was that I had just witnessed a miracle. My little boy started to cry as I did. It was the sweetest sight I had ever seen. from the moment forward, I have never been more grateful. Every single day has been a gift that is beyond anything I have ever received in my life. The gratitude has been so immense and overwhelming that it is hard to describe. When my son started to talk, I remember when he first called me daddy. Since that day, no word has meant more to me or melted my heart like it does. As he approached his college years, he still slips occasionally and again, call me daddy. It will always be the sweetest word I have ever heard. When I write in my gratitude journal every day, I always mention the impact my son has on my life. Nothing has given me more joy or made me more thankful. I will forever be changed and eternally grateful for seeing the sweetest sight and hearing the sweetest word. David George Brook is the contributor of this gratitude. I want to thank you for always spending time with me on this radio broadcast. I am on the air on Wednesday mornings, 10 to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. There are some times when I have experts on, and there are other times when I do a topic by myself and encourage you to be part of the dialogue. Like today, our topic that we will be having conversation around is making the connection. Making the connection. We want to talk about what are some of the things that's preventing us from making the connection. We also want to talk about who are we allowing to control the results of our lives. What are some of the things that's holding us hostage? Are we balancing our lives, both emotionally, physically, and spiritually? We want to talk about the quality of the relationships that we are investing in, both personally and business. We want to talk about, are we taking time to have fun, engage in joyous activity, and to be expressing healthy laughter each day as entrepreneurs? Because as entrepreneurs, we are operating in a very, very stressful environment. And time permitting, which it should be, we will be talking about some of the things that we need to do that will help us to commit to making the connection. So, again, I am your host, Dynamic Daphne. It is a privilege to be spending this time with you. And because I have mentioned about the passing of two dear friends of mine, And just to follow up on something one of my sisters in the spirit, Trish Cook, put on her Facebook yesterday, asking all of us to take the time to enjoy those people who are dear to us. Because we never know when our name will be called on the roll. So let us include all of that in making the connection this morning. I want to encourage you to call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And I tell you to keep watching because I am starting my new blog. And I know that you are going to be so excited about it. I am already excited. And each week, you will be able to get the opportunity to listen to my three top picks of the week from the radio show. And I am also working on a system that will allow you to have the opportunity to be viewing all of my TV show on the internet as well. So I am busy doing some great things. I ask that you continue to pray for me and the things that God has called me to do. I'm just so excited about all the things that God has been placing on my heart to do and the amazing people that He has called me to be alongside with. So I am looking for your support in doing all the things that I'm called to do. And I know that I will be learning from you as much as you will be learning from me. I'm looking to add value in your life, and I know that you will be adding value in mine as well. So, why don't you join me in discussing about making the connection? I want to share from one of my daily devotions. I want to share the habit of wealth. The habit of wealth. Partakers of the divine nature. And that comes from the scripture of guidance for today is 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. We are made partakers of the divine nature through the promises when we have to manipulate the divine nature in our human nature by habits. And the first habit is to form the habit of realizing the provision God has made. Oh, I can't afford it, we often say. One of the worst lies is tucked up in that phrase. It is ungovernably bad taste to talk about money in the natural domain. And so it is spiritually. And yet we talk as if our Heavenly Father had cut us off without a shilling. We think it is a sign of real modesty to say at the end of the day, oh, well, I have just got through. But it has been a severe tussle, and all the Almighty God is ours in the Lord Jesus, and He will tax the last grain of sand and the remotest star to bless us if we will obey Him. Why should they not be? If we give way to self-pity and indulge in the luxury of misery, we banish God's riches from our own lives and hinder others from entering into His provision. No sin is worse than the sin of self-pity, because it obliterates God and puts self-interest upon the throne. It opens our mouth to spit out murmurings, and our lives become craving spiritual sponges. When God is beginning to be satisfied with us, He will impoverish everything in the nature of the fictitious wealth until we learn that all our flesh springs are in Him. If the majesty and grace and power of God are not being manifested in us, God holds us responsible. God is able to make all grace abound. Then learn to lavish the grace of God on others. Be stamped with God's nature, and His blessing will come through you all in time. I think this reading is an on-time one for the topic of making the connection. Making the connection. And I know for each and every one of us, making the connection is of uttermost importance. I know for me, making the connection years ago had to do with my spiritual well-being, the quality of my spiritual life. I realized then that religion was preventing me from making the connection to all the things that my Heavenly Father had provided for me. So I quickly had to make a judgment call, if you may, as to what is best for me. Is it of importance that I carry the religious label? Or was it important for me to live a healthy spiritual life and to make the connection to all of the things on the universe that Daddy has so generously provided for me? I realized when I made that switch that all of His provision was there for me. I didn't have to be perfect. I didn't have to be a good girl. I didn't have to be a good woman. I didn't have to be a person that was not making any mistake or creating any sins. But I just know that his arms was always outstretched, regardless of the mistakes I will make or the times when I would stumble and sometimes fell, that he was there to help me up and to help me to make that connection. I realize that because he has called me to do something specific, I needed to make that connection with that which he had called me to be, and this will help me to move ahead. I know that there are many people who are still sitting on the sideline, not making the connection to that which they are called to do. They spend a large portion of their time watching what other people are doing. And I'm here to tell them that that is one of the greatest prevention of from you making the connection. Take your eyes off of others and keep your eyes on the bullseye, the prize, that which you were called to do. Keep connected to that, because once you keep focusing on that, everything becomes so easy. It's like the faucet. You open the faucet, and then there is no obstruction in the water flow, and it just keeps flowing, flowing, flowing. You'll find out that the resource comes. You'll find out that the people come. The opportunity comes. And people oftentimes will look at you. Once you have made the connection, people will look at you. And these are the phrases that they will use to describe you. Some will say, you are lucky. Some will say, well, you was at the right place at the right time. Some will say, you always get the breaks. Others will say, well, you always have the support. Some will say, people will always want to do for you. And people will even say, oh, well, you know, I don't have the education that you have. Some will even look at you and say, well, you know, you were born with a gold spoon in your mouth. And yes, all of us were born with a gold spoon in our mouth, because the reason that that egg was fertilized so that mommy could give birth to you is because daddy placed a gold spoon in your mouth, and he fertilized that egg because there was a reason why he wanted you on this earth to solve a certain problem that he had. So please do not allow anything from preventing you from making the connection. Making the connection is of vital importance towards all the legacies that we are looking to create in this life. All of the legacies. Unless we make that connection, and unless we are committed to maintaining the health and well-being of that connection, we are doing ourselves an injustice. I want to take a brief commercial break here, and I'll remind you to call in 646-915-8166. to tell me about some of the things that you have done in the past to make your connection, and to also talk about some of the things that had prevented you from making the connection. So if you're in the chat room, call in 646-915-8166. And if you're listening live via the internet, I encourage you to be part of the conversation as well.
Superfastlinkbuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
Yes, I want to just encourage you to call in 646-915-8166. I would like to hear from you. And I just get so excited when people call in to share their personal experience, because a lot of times people think that when you are saying something, it just works for you, and they don't think it worked for anybody else. So let me hear from you. I want to move on to the bullet point about who or what are you allowing to control the results of your life? I was speaking with someone a couple of days ago, and she was pointing out to me about a conversation she had with another person. And I'm carefully selecting my words, because I didn't ask for the person's permission to share this. However, we were in a conversation pertaining to an individual who was in their late 40s, early 50s age range. And the reason we were having this conversation is because the person that was relaying to me was so perturbed that this individual could not do certain things at certain time of the day or evening because their significant other would not allow them to do X, Y, and Z. And it was very alarming for me to hear that. And I asked the individual, how long has this been going on? And they point out to me the number of years. And I asked the question, has this person ever thought of seeking professional help? And do they not think that this behavior is of a controlling aspect? And the person said, well, I have already discussed that. However, there's two and three sides to a story, and I've heard that side. I really don't know the other side that is warranting such and such. So I'm sharing that discreetly to say we need to be able to control our own lives. We are in charge. We are the one that get up every day and we are breathing God's oxygen. So why don't we ask him to help us to implement those tools in our lives that will help us to take full and total and complete control of our lives. Yes, we share our lives with different people. We share our lives with family members, parents, siblings, our spouses, our children, our neighbors, our community, and some of us, our careers as well. Should we allow those aspects of our lives to control the results? No. However, there are times when we can allow people to make suggestions to us. And when we realize that those suggestions are adding value to the goals and visions that we are setting out to do, we can consider them. We show appreciation for them. Whether or not we plan on using them in any form, we can still show appreciation for them and say to the person, I'm grateful that you have considered me enough to do X, Y, and Z. However, do not allow any person to play you like a yo-yo. You all know that yo-yo is a little game that the kids play. It's round, and you wind up the rope or the string in the middle. It's filled, and then you toss it out and you pull it back. You toss it and you pull it back. You pull it back. And some people, when you allow people to control your lives, as I look on it, what I am seeing is that you are being played as a yo-yo. If you decide to be played as a yo-yo, allow God to be the yo-yo player, because he knows why he created you. He knows the reason you were created for. He knows that task that is on this universe for you to complete. So he's the only one that is entitled to be your yo-yo player. Not your children, not your boss, not your spouse, not your significant other. Don't allow any other person other than your creator to control the results of your life. In order for that to happen, you must know what it is you are looking to accomplish. So if you don't have a plan, if you don't have an action plan, if you don't have a guideline, yes, people are going to be playing you like a yo-yo, because they are looking to have you live their life. They are looking to dictate to you, to tell you what to do. When you decide that you are making the connection, or you have made the connection and you are staying true and committed to it, you keep visiting the drawing board of that which you are called to do, and you put all of your efforts into doing that. You know, it is our time. I was at a meeting last Wednesday, and the founder of the group, which I am praying that I'll be able to have her on here to talk about the amazing things she's doing, she mentioned to us about what the Lord had put in her heart to do for people, to empower people. And like I said to her, that word empowerment is so overused. I want people to get in their hearts of hearts an understanding of what empowerment means for them. You know, I grew up hearing the phrase, you can lead the horse to the water, but you cannot make him drink it. And it's the same way with motivation, empowerment, and inspiration. It is something that you must be passionate about. It's really an inside job. It is an inside job. I cannot motivate you. I can inspire you to get motivated. But when you make the connection, you will be on fire to motivate yourself. So you then, after you make the connection, you become a seeker who is always searching for more to keep that connection intact. And we have a caller. I'm going to go to this caller and see if they want to contribute to the conversation. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 7964. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Sandra, and I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. I'm struggling with allergies, but I had a great night's sleep, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, I think I know which Sandra this is. Well, thanks for calling in. Today's conversation is focusing on making the connection. And I don't know, I know you're a business person and you're a professional. And I don't know if over your time as a business person, if there were certain connections that you knew you had to make and to stay true to in order to accomplish the things that you are set out to accomplish.
Well, that's a very powerful question, and I'd like to commend you for taking on such a powerful, I think for myself, mm-hmm. when I was in college, I read this book that really had a significant impact. I'm looking it up now to make sure I say his name correctly. But it was The Road Less Traveled. I really,
encourage
people to read that.
I don't have it yet.
It's M. Scott Peck, M.D.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book, I would say it's been out maybe about 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it really opened up my mind in terms of I didn't have to live the way everyone around me lived, that I had the license to create. And I think now, the time that we're living in right now, it's probably the best time ever as far as doing what you're speaking about today on your radio show, as far as really creating yourself.
That's right.
Because the road less traveled really takes some courage, because
boldness.
You're going to have a lot of people say to you they don't understand why you want to do X, Y, and Z. And you really can't spend a lot of time explaining to people
boldness.
Why you want to do X, Y, and Z. You just have to have the courage to go and do it. You may be the first person to do a lot of things in your family or in your
That's
friends
right.
in your community.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, Sandra, I know you just, I don't know whether you were listening on the computer before you called in, but at the top of the hour, I mentioned about losing one of my neighbors.
Yes, I heard you.
And the lady just went in the hospital, Sandra, 2 weeks ago. This past Monday, I went to the hospital to do a test, and I stopped on the floor she was to visit her. And they said they weren't allowing visitors. And I left. I said, just tell her her friend Daphne came by. And this morning when my neighbor called me to say she passed at 4 a.m. this morning, it was a shock to me. And it puzzled me. I hung up the phone from the neighbor who called. I called two more neighbors. And then it dawned on me that I did not ask the neighbor who called me how he was doing. So I called him back and I asked him how he was doing, and then we prayed together. But he said to me, you know, it is such an awakening for me now because of X, Y, Z. There are certain things you realize you don't have in place and you need to do that. And these are some of the things, Sandra, that in life we must make the valid connections that will have us live each day in completeness. This way,
you know,
we will...
When you say that, it reminds me of something that I really try to put in practice in my life. Not to be a complainer. You know, you can have problems, and they're valid problems. But the key that made a big difference in my life was now I'm in location mode. All right, I have this problem. Who can I talk to that will actually help me solve the problem? And when I started doing that, I spent less time complaining to family and friends or coworkers about things and actually moving my life along because I was identifying who could help me with this problem. And since I've lived that type of life, I have a lot less problems, a lot less stress in my life, and things get completed quickly. Like, I don't stay in the problem.
That's right. Because those things, prior to making the connection, you had viewed them as problems. But once you made the connection, you realize that this situation needs to be dissected in different aspects. I'm going out to find the resource in an individual who can help me to move this along. And I thank you so much for sharing that, because that is powerful. Because many people for many years, Sandra, they are faced with situation, and some of those situations are placing their lives to add value to the lives. But because they view them as problems, they remain in them and they live in them and they call everybody and they talk about them. And it's always somebody's fault. Why this is happening to me instead of doing what you do. There got to be someone that can show me the value in this thing.
Exactly. You know, your friends and your family, as much as you love them, they don't have the answers to everything that you need. So it's a waste of your time speaking to people about you can mention, you know, this happened to me today. But if the person on the other phone doesn't have a good answer. But what I found a lot of times when I used to consult family and friends, that they would give me an answer based on who they are, not who I am, and not where I want to go. So you're living your life based on somebody else when you take everybody else's advice.
You know
so I find that I'm a lot less dependent on, well, I'm not dependent on people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have relationships with people, but I'm not dependent on anyone.
Yeah, because, you know, Sandra, the things with family and some close friends, they always hold us based on that which they know about us. And that which they choose to hold on to are the mistakes that we have made in the past. It doesn't matter how much you excel past that mistake, they never let it go.
Yeah, that is such a powerful thing that you're saying, because I noticed in my family dynamic, for example, I had one family, and we love each other. I'm not talking about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I have one family member who was one of the first persons to go to college and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college, but I went kind of late. You know, I was in my 20s already by the time I went back to college. And I was experimenting with working and whatever. And I had a jobs before I went to college. So by the time I got to college, I knew a lot more than the typical high school person coming out of college, because I had actually worked.
That's
but
right.
Anyway, what I'm saying is I have gone on and I have moved, lived in different cities. I've
yes.
had my own business and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person who had went to college, I say, you know, the family still reveres that person more, although they've accomplished a lot less than I have.
More
so what
than
I found
you.
Is in family dynamics, whatever was set sometimes, by the time you get to be a teenager, whatever was set, it perpetuates for your entire
That's
life.
Right. That's right. You know, Sandra, you talk about going to college when you were in your 20s. I went back to college when I was in my 40s going on. I got my PhD when I was in my 60s, you know, and it's okay.
I wouldn't have thought that you were past 40. You look great.
Oh, well, thank you. I remember the first time when I made the dean's list at Ashford, and I was so privileged. I was so honored. I was so proud of that. I sent an email blast out, and I remember a friend of mine from England sent an email back saying to me, you ought to be on the dean's list every semester because you're paying for your own education.
I didn't yes. understand what she meant by that.
Huh?
I don't understand what she meant by that.
In other words, I'm so proud. I'm putting in the time. You know, young people who are leaving high school and go to college now, they do not count the value of how much their parents are paying for them.
Paying for it, yes, exactly.
So,
well, you know, they're encouraging parents now to be careful about, you know, don't hawk your mortgage and don't go too much in debt. Because a lot of these kids leave school.
That's right. And the parents are still paying. So
yeah,
what my friend was pointing out to me that I didn't have a mommy and a daddy who is paying for the education. I'm paying for it.
Yes.
So I ought to get my money's worth and
yes.
on the
well, you know, and also by the time you went to college, you were a very knowledgeable, experienced person.
Exactly, because even I went to University of Bridgeport, which was a traditional university local here in Connecticut as well. And there were often times when my professors would pull me aside after class and say, thank you so much. And I always say, for what? And they say, do you realize that the richness of X, Y, and Z happened because you did X, Y, and Z? And one of my professors and I, we are still very good friends. We even do some work together because of my contribution in that class when I was taking her class. So I am in such agreement with you, and I totally affirm what you mentioned about having the experience of working prior to go to college. Because when the students look at the textbook, and they are there struggling for the answer, we look at the textbook and we look at our life experience, and by the snap of a finger, we can come up with the correct formula to give us the answer for that. And it is always the best answer. Sandra, I want to ask you, the next bullet I want to move to in this conversation on making the connection is, who or what is holding you hostage? And I have a few things here that I would like to share with the listeners. But as you look over, maybe it's your clients or the community that you're in and people that you see. What are some things that you think are holding people hostage from making a progressive connection?
Well, you know, in my business practices and even in my personal life,
mm-hmm.
I think what I see is there's this huge struggle of acceptance going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to business owners sometimes about, you know, how you believe you can help them,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when you're talking to them, and which by the way, some people are better at it than others, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting people to understand that, you know, you need my service. This
mm-hmm.
is how
mm-hmm.
I can help you. Some people
mm-hmm.
are better at it. You know, you have to tweak it so that you
mm-hmm.
become better at it. But
mm-hmm.
I see that people have this struggle of having to know the most.
Mm.
You know, it's like this constant one-up kind of situation where sometimes I'm not sure. I see it in my kids, too. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure people really listen to one another for the value that they can get because they're so busy answering to let the other person know, I know that, or I knew that, or I could have gotten that, or, you know, don't tell me I'm wrong, or maybe I'm not doing this the way I should, but, you know, I don't really want to hear that. You know, I think people need to relax a lot more than they are and just really appreciate the knowledge that they're getting. Because, trust me, I know you're in business for yourself. A lot of the knowledge that I've obtained, I had to go to college, I had to pay for it. And in business, a lot of the knowledge that I've obtained, I had to pay for it. You know, when you get to a certain point of expertise, you have to pay to learn. You have to pay to get somebody to do the service. So what I would say that what I think is holding people back is, you know, a lack of wanting to just open themselves up enough to either learn from somebody or to listen. You know, like I remember constantly, you know, my daughters are over that, but when they were in their preteens, they would just feel like every time I said something to them, well, Mommy, I'm not stupid. And I'm like, I know you're not stupid, but I'm your, you know, I'm your mother, which means I'm an experienced person, and
mm-hmm.
it's my duty to, you know, help you along until you
guide
get
you
there
along.
Yourself.
Yeah.
So
you
I see that as, you know, a primary issue in my life anyway.
I like acceptance, lack of listening, and not wanting to invest. Those are three powerful things, and I didn't even, you know, I'm thankful that God have you to call in, because that was not even on my list of things that's holding people hostage. But, you know, I'll pick out the listening piece. You know, oftentimes I am in conversation with someone and I'm listening intently. And I'll say to the person, go ahead. And I said, go ahead, Sandra, and I'm listening. Oftentimes I have my pen and pad ready to jot the important points down for my rebuttal or feedback. And people, you would be surprised to know how many times during the conversation people will stop and say, Daphne, are you there? Yes, I'm listening to you. And a couple more sentences, are you there? And I see the reason for that is because people are not always accustomed to have people operate in full listening mode. And it is so important for us to listen. The same thing happens when we go into doctor's office, Sandra. They come in and they say good morning to you. What's the thing they do? They pick up a prescription pad and they write your name on it, ready to write a prescription without even hearing how your last 2 months or 3 months were. They don't even know if you're going to want the need or warrant a medication, but they are so programmed to write in the prescription. And
yeah, it's like a prescription for life, it turns out to be.
Exactly. I've oftentimes said to the doctor, well, now I don't have to say that because they're doing everything on the computer now. But when they were writing, I said, but why are you writing a prescription Why is my name on that? You don't know what I'm going to tell you. You don't know about my condition. And I remember one doctor thought I was very challenging. I said, well, I don't see myself as challenging. I see myself as being assertive towards my health and well-being. Because I'm not going to be popping what he gives me unless I know that what is needed for me. The other thing you mentioned, which is of such vital importance, is people lack of wanting to pay for service and to pay to learn more. You know, they will pay for everything else other than the investment in themselves. And that is at the top of the list that's holding people hostage from making that connection. When people walk in my office, they look at my library and they say, wow, why do you buy so many books? They look at my CDs and my DVDs. Wow, you spend a whole lot of money in those things. And I said, that's my investment in me. I said, I'm in people business. I'm expected to give into people the best of what they are paying me for. But you are right. People will nickel and dime your expertise, Sandra. And that's what? That's one of the things that's holding them back. The other thing you mentioned that is powerful is acceptance. I think we spend too much time on wanting to be accepted instead of focusing on that which we were called to. And once you focus on building your expertise and your skills and giving of your best, you won't be looking around for people to accept you. Because in every walk of life, you will be adding value to that which you touch. Whether you touch it intentionally or not, the words that you speak will be adding value to that. So I thank you for those contributions.
Thank you so much.
One of the other things that I know, Sandra, is holding people hostage from making a positive connection is food. Because we are some of us is addicted to food, and we are not eating with intention of what is good for our bodies. And that holds us hostage as well. So we have to make the connection with that food that is right for our bodies. And make sure we take that which is only good for us. Last week on my TV show, I did a episode on how is your mouth serving you? And I did it based on the swallowing, what are we eating, as well as what the words we are speaking. Now, the next thing, and I don't know if in your community it is as prevalent as around where I am, gossip is a big thing that is holding people back from making the connection.
Well, you know, that we specialize in, and I would say the last 20 years, things have changed a great deal in this country, and one of the biggest things is gossip is an industry now.
Because what they say, it's the gossip that's what they say, sex sells and the gossip sells and that. And, you know, you are so right. I did not even look at it as an industry by itself.
Yes, it's an industry by itself. We can't wait. I watch TMZ sometimes myself.
Mm-hmm. But, okay. I'm not sure about that. TMZ is a special network.
It's a gossip show. It's between the commercials. It's on for about 30 minutes. It's based in Los Angeles, and it comes on, I forgot what channel it comes on,
but
all they do is talk about celebrity, what celebrities did, what they wore, where they went, and that's, the whole show is about gossip, basically.
My God.
And it's popular show. And there's many of them. I consider the talk shows in the morning, they're all gossip shows. What are they? They're not talking about themselves. They're talking about other people.
Depending on what it is they're focused on. The other thing, Sandra, is sex. And we touched that. You know, we know that sex is for the confines in the constraints of marriage. But, you know, for some people, that has taken over control of their lives. I know.
You know, I used to be embarrassed, but I am not embarrassed about it anymore, and I will state publicly. You know, sexual abstinence is a part of my life. I'm a divorced woman, and when I was married, that was a part of my life. But I found, you know, as a single woman, I was really sparingly with it. At first, I used to do it more freely until I really experienced the effects of it in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And for me, having multiple sexual partners really resulted in a lot of emptiness. I mean, you know, I could probably even still count the number of partners on my two hands. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even one hand. But but to me, I don't know how many hands, but I'm getting a little embarrassed. But I found it to be an empty practice. Let me say
yeah,
it to you
and
that way.
It points back, Sandra, to multiple sex partners, points back to the acceptance piece that you brought up before. Because I was about to say that not too many women understand what the word virtuous living is all about. Because I myself, and I'm saying it on global radio, I've been celibate for a while. I don't look on it as anything to be embarrassed about. Yet, I know other women who would say to me, girl, how could you do that? It is as if I told them that I'm shooting drugs or something, you know? Because they're trying to let me look bad about that. I said, girl, I'm a queen. I said, I was born a princess. Now I've evolved in a queen. I said, when my king comes and comes the right way, he's going to be up for a treat.
Well,
because
you know,
we have to understand,
you know,
what it is about.
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
I'll tell a quick story. I met a man not too long ago, and actually it was like, I think it was last month. And he seemed to be interested in me, and I like how he approached. He said, you know, could we get together and go, you know, grab a bite to eat sometimes? I said, sure. So he took me out to lunch. After the lunch was fine, and then after lunch, when we're walking back down the street, he starts talking to me about having sex. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I said, okay, you know, I'll let that go. And in fact, he said something to me on the phone. And I said, you know, I said, I'm not like a prude or anything. I said, but I really find it, I don't understand now that I'm a grown woman why the pressure of sex. You know, it just seems like, you know, you're in the situation and maybe sometimes things happen. You can kind of understand that because we're human beings, right? But to orchestrate it and pressure me, I told him I really didn't care for that. So he says, okay, I understand that. So we went out to lunch again. Well, he didn't pressure me about sex, but the whole conversation was about sex. He was talking about this one going out with old men, hoping they'll die, and this one, the older woman having sex with a young. So the whole conversation was still sex. So I said, okay. So then he asked me out to dinner. So we went out to dinner. Then during dinner, he's relating the dinner to having sex.
You gave
so the next
a lot
day,
of
Mm-hmm. He calls me and he says, so when are we going to have sex? I said, look, don't call me no more. I mean,
wow.
To me, he really gave me the impression that you're not interested in me. You're just interested in finding somebody to have sex with. So
and
I said to him, if you're going to press a woman to have sex like that, you might as well ask her how much she charges.
That's right. He could, and I know you live in New York City, so he could, where they say, the 42nd Street or something.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people who do it, you know.
If he wants that much, he could invest in paying somebody, because I don't think that, and he's a grown person, he's a grown man.
Grown man!
Come on. He needs somebody to slap him at his head to wake up. Wake up. Where are his values? So he's not looking for a companion. He's not looking for a wife. He's looking for a toy.
That's right.
He's looking
for
a toy to play with.
And then a year prior, a friend of mine, she says to me, well, I'm gonna have sex with this guy because he spent $40 on me. And I'm looking at her like, are you sane?
Come on.
She's like, he spent $40 on me. I wanted to say, well, gee, I'll give you $40.
Give her $40 to give him back.
Yeah,
that's,
you know, because your body is not, it's worth more than $40. But it just seems that women have gotten to the desperation stage that they feel like if they don't hurry up and get to the sex, but then what I find is the relationships don't last anyway.
Nope. You know, and I'm kind of glad, you know, I have an extremely strong personality, and I think it pushes the guys away. They're not asking me any question. But I was so privileged to reconnect January of 2011 with a gentleman that was my first boyfriend. And I was telling people that this was the first time that I understand the pureness of true real love. Because we reconnected, Sandra, and even one of my friends from my church was bent out of shape when I was going to New York and spending the weekend. And I had to go to this friend's house, and while his wife was upstairs, he and I sat in his dining room and we had a conversation, and I said to him, you got to trust me. I said, dude, you are my friend. You have to respect my values and my morals. I said, this man is the only man I would sleep in his house. I don't think I even need to lock my door, because I said, he's not going to rip my underwears off. Because he wasn't doing that when I was young, and I know now he respects me and he's not going to do that. I say, you must trust me on this. And he was adamant and holding on. He didn't think I was doing the right thing by spending time in the house with him and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I looked him in his eyes, Sandra. I grabbed his arms and I said, let's pray about it. And we prayed. And then I look in this man, he's in his 40s, and I saw the tears running out of his eyes. He looked in my eyes and he said to me, God says he has it under control, I must leave it alone. And we embraced, and I said, thank you. You know, Sandra, 3.5 weeks after that happened, you know my friend died, my friend that I was visiting in New York?
Oh, wow. That would have been the last time you got to see him.
He died. And I questioned God. I'm going to be honest. I'm sharing this on the radio for someone to hear. I questioned God because we were looking forward to getting married and everything. All the people who knew us when we were young, we let them know we were back together and all that stuff. It was such an excitement. We were going to go back to Jamaica and get married and all of that stuff. And I was questioning God, Sandra, when this happened. It was a tough time. Until some months after he died, I was speaking with a friend of mine, and she brought up to me that the Lord said I was questioning him. And I quickly defended it. I said, no, you ever know me to question God? Because I rarely wasn't focusing on the questioning about my friend's death, right? She said to me that the Lord wanted you to know that he answered his prayer, because when he got sick in 2006, his prayer every day since he got sick was to ask the Lord if he was going to take him home, not to take him home until he rekindles with you. And when my friend said that to me, tears came to my heart and to my eyes, and I have not questioned God since that. And, you know, this other male friend of mine, he says to me, you ought to put that story in a book, because a lot of people don't understand that you can have pure, authentic relationships.
Pure love.
Pure love. And another friend of mine who is in her 50s said to me, she said, you know, you hardly ever see someone finding love in the same place twice. And they had just met my friend back in March, and he died April, you know, because I brought him up here to introduce him to my friends, and they meet him. We had a fabulous dinner and everything, and they met him and had conversation with him. And in less than a month after they met him, no, a little over a month, he passed. And I did not miss anything. I didn't miss that we didn't have sex and stuff like that, because we had it when we were young. And now we had pure, authentic love. It was a respect. It was a treasure. And this is something that I'm really going to put it in a book, that other people can use it to enhance and to build their lives. So, you know, that man, he is lucky that you gave him so much opportunity to prove himself. And, you know, his true color still came out, because he thinks, because he bought you lunch and dinner, that you should be laying flat. Oh, no. I'm sure you know how to cook, you know?
Yes, exactly. I say, you know, he asked me. I didn't ask him to take me to dinner.
That's right. You know,
and then he was using all kind of tactics with my company sending me out of the country. I said, well, you know, the fact that your company is sending you out of the country does not encourage me to want to have sex with you.
So what does that have to do with him going out of the country?
I don't know. The guy was just, it was just too much. It was too much. I said, you know, you're not giving me the impression that you're interested in lying as a woman.
You know, it's a reason that we're sharing all these things, because there is somebody who needs to hear this, because especially as women, because I can only speak because I am a woman. We need to hold our virtues together.
I'm a heterosexual woman, mm-hmm. But I tell you, I enjoy being by myself. And when I was in a relationship, I enjoyed being in a relationship. When I'm with my male friends, I enjoy being with my male friends. I'm really focusing in on my business now. Mm-hmm. I don't socialize as much as I was prior, but I had a lot of male friends that I really enjoyed, and we would go to lunch, we'd go to dinner, and it was just pure getting to know one another, and it was respectful to each other.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's what I'm accustomed to. So
that's
it's like,
right.
You know, give me the idea that you're interested in me as a person. Yeah. And not seeing me as a toy,
you know. But
and I don't understand how some women feel like, well, as long as they got a man, that's all right.
Oh no! I was telling somebody the other day. I said, girl, I love me some Daphne. I said, honey, I love Daphne. I'm never bored with me, you know. Because I know that I am not going to settle for less when it comes to me. So, you know, there's so much that we have that is holding us hostage. The next thing I'm just going to mention them, and I'm going to really move on. I have here jealousy, I have alcohol, and I have drugs. And I know that those can be very devastating. But we have, I have 44 minutes remaining in this segment. I want to move to the next thing of balance, life balance, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Especially as entrepreneurs, we got to design that life balance that is most advantageous for us.
So true, because as an entrepreneur, you could basically work all day and all
mm-hmm.
night, every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's your business, it's yours, so you nobody has the key to lock you out.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Have to really train yourself that, you know what, time to have dinner with the family. You know what, it's time to go to meet with a friend. You really have to, you know what, it's time to stop working and go to bed. Or, you know, watch this. You really have to train yourself.
Yes,
for balance, because you love what you're doing, so therefore you will be doing it.
And that's
why, the extreme, if you let yourself.
Yeah, and that's one of the most valid reasons why we become entrepreneurs, is so we can have quality time with our families. Because we know, as you say, nobody has the key to lock you out. But nobody's clocking you in and out either. And as an entrepreneur, you get to be there when your family needs you. But I noticed, too, that there are some entrepreneurs who is not setting that time aside. And they end up regretting it. I was on a webinar a few months ago, and there was a doctor from Canada on. And he was sharing something that was standing in his way of his relationship with his family, and is when he was from a very prominent family too in Canada. And when he was growing up, it was kind of engraved in him that boys don't cry. So he grew up, although he's a very, very, very prominent physician, when he gets home, there is nothing there. It's just dry. He has no emotion. He said his daughter, he has a daughter and a son. The daughter was already out of the house a few years, and now the son was getting ready to go to college. And he said it's like he got a wake-up call. The webinar he was on, he got an invitation to be on the webinar. And the first time he was on the webinar, at the end of the webinar, he ended up calling the consultant so he could get a one-on-one session with the person. And he said it was during that session that he got the breakthrough about what it was that severed him from being emotional with his children and his wife and everything like that. And he said, thanks to the guy who he got the consultation with, he was able to salvage the relationship with his son before the son went to college, and also to rekindle with his daughter. And he says, my marriage is now the best that it had ever been, because I was emotionally available to them. I was physically available to them. And he said, now I'm working on the spiritual aspect, and we are going to be doing it together. And that's something I know our society tried to program our boys and men about, is that they don't show emotion. And that's a lot of what is standing in their ways of making not only professional connection, but intimate connection with their spouses as well.
Well, I agree. You know, I think there's been a lot of discussion the last, you know, few years about men getting in touch with their spiritual side. I don't like it when they say men getting in touch with their feminine side, but, you know, men getting in touch with their spiritual side.
Oh, Sandra.
And,
Sandra, did I detect a little bit of prejudice there?
Well, I never agreed with that little media buzz, you know. So one of the things that I
try to
really become aware of on a personal level is, you know, a lot of the things that people think they don't realize, it comes from the media.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, media puts a spin on it, and then that's how they feed it to you, and that's how you're going to accept it. But guess what? You can accept, you can take what they're saying, and then you could say, you know, well, I agree with that, but I don't agree with that. I agree with
that's
that,
right.
But not with that.
Yeah,
you don't have
take what works
that.
For you. It's like putting it through the sieve.
Right? Yeah, you have to put it through your own sifting mode.
That's right.
You know,
you're getting
because people have different ideologies, they have different backgrounds, they have different belief systems. And so sometimes you have to say, okay, does that fit with my belief system? And in my belief system, it says, no, I don't want a man to have a feminine side. I want him to be a man who's connected with his spiritual side. Because I'm a woman, I don't need another woman.
I never heard anybody say they're trying to let a woman connect to her masculine side.
Exactly. You know, they never say that. You know, they want women to be women, and for some reason they want to feminize men. And I think
it just dawned on me that I've never heard that being said before. But, you know, we live in an interesting world, because I was speaking with a client this morning. And she made a statement, and I said to her, back up before you even move on. I said, you need to cancel that statement right now. Cancel it. And she said, oh, well, you know, it's just a phrase. I said, yes, I know, but it's a phrase that does not fit into what you're doing. You don't need to use that phrase. Because I said, remember, we use our tongue and our words to rewrite the script of our life. And I said, that M word you just used, no, you don't need it in what you are doing, especially with the lifestyle that you're living. So I said, cancel it. And people think that every phrase that is out there ought to be used by you. No, sir. Because our words are powerful. I want to remind people that you can call in. I tell you, I'm so blessed to have one caller on the line who we have been having, I think we have been having a great time for her to be joining part of this conversation. I want to encourage you to call in 646-915-8166, and I'm going to take a short commercial break.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, I want to encourage you to join us on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. when I will have a guest. It's somebody who was on the show in the past, and she's going to be joining us from Spain. And we're going to be talking about relationships this Sunday. All aspects of the relationship, and you don't want to miss that. So mark your calendar to join us at 7 Eastern Standard Time. And I want to ask you, if you have not yet joined us on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, Facebook at A New Day Radio, A New Day TV, Facebook at dynamicdaphne.com. So we are looking for all your support as well. We are also working on getting our new blog up. So if you are not yet on my mailing list, I want you to join there. Join the show. Mark the show favorite. Become a friend. And stop on the show page and write a note of encouragement. Let me know what your thoughts are about the show. And I want to thank Miss Sandra for calling in and for adding such great value to the dialogue this morning. And I know there are many out there who are listening. Let us hear from you about making the connection. I want you to know that it is your time. It is your time. It is your time. I want you to be bold. I want you to take a stand. I want you to take action and to claim that you are making the connection to a better health, the connection to creating wealth, the connection for building more positive, value-added relationship, the connection for a more visible you, a connection to your brand, whatever else it is that you need to make the connection to. We have so far discussed about what's preventing you from making the connection. We talked about who or what are you allowing to control the results of your life. We talked about what are some of the things that is holding you hostage. And we mentioned, my caller mentioned, wanting to be accepted, not listening, willing to give advice without even listening, the lack of investing in yourself, not wanting to pay for service and all that, that will enhance your life. We mention about food, we talk about sex, we talk about drugs, we talk about, mention gossip, jealousy, and alcohol. And now we are now talking about balancing your life, both emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Now, you know, all of us talk about the importance of exercising, and a lot of people think that we got to go into the gym, wherein we can do exercises just by walking. Walking, walking, walking. I'm so proud of myself because the fall before last summer, I bought a bicycle, and then I taught myself to ride, and I'm looking forward to going back in the park this summer and just ride my Riley bike around the place again. So, you know, I'm looking to get back into meditation more. I sometimes participate in the Troper Center meditations, but I need to do them on a more regular basis and find out, you know, your quiet times are powerful, and it really provides a really quality spiritual fulfillment for you. I live in a lake community, and I oftentimes go down the lake to do my journaling and just to sit and just be there and just to enjoy what is happening and to just be in the stillness and to be focusing on the water. And it gives such spiritual purity and clarity into that which you are set to do. Find out what works for you and do more of it. You don't have to get into the trend of, you know, I have to do this way and I have to do that way. What works for you, and just focus on that. I can tell you, when you live a balanced life, it opens up doors. It opens up opportunity. All of us need to live a balanced life. Take time to play and have fun. That moves us down to the topic of fun, joy, laughter. You know, ask yourself, what does it mean for me to experience joy? What is joy to you? What is fun? What does it take for you to have fun? You know, we look at little children and we see them playing. We see them playing so much and they are enjoying life. And there's a little child in all of us, you know. So I encourage us to let the little kid inside of us come out and play. Don't be so rigid. Take some time, play around, have fun. I know oftentimes people tell me, oh, we know you're at church because we hear you laughing. Because I have a very prominent laughter. I laugh with every fiber of my being. Every fiber of my being I put into my laughter. And I enjoy a healthy life. You heard Sandra and I speaking about as entrepreneurs, sometimes we don't take time to do things with the family. And we need to take the time to do that. Have time for our family. Have time for the things that we enjoy. You heard me mention at the top of the hour that my friend, my neighbor, went in the hospital and in 2 weeks, she's gone. She's not here anymore. So we need to take the time to treasure everything around us. Only live today, one day at a time. And for that reason, we won't have any regret. Remember, you became an entrepreneur because you wanted to have a quality life. You wanted to spend time with your family. You wanted to go on a vacation just to relax and put your feet up. I like how Sandra said, nobody has the key to lock you out. And I want to add to that, that nobody is watching you clock in and out either. So I want to remind you how important it is to experience some fun, joy, and lots of laughter as an entrepreneur. And when you look into enjoying those things, when you don't get that contract or you don't make that sale, you won't be having high blood pressure. You'll just laugh and say, next, and let me move on. Now, let us talk about the relationships that we build or we invest in. Ask ourselves the question, is that relationship beneficial that I'm a part of? Not because I can get something from it, but what can I add to this relationship? I see relationship as not what's in it for me. Instead, I see them as what am I able to contribute? What am I able to contribute? That's a very important question for me. If I'm not able to contribute something, is it worth the while for me to be involved in this relationship? When you focus on what it is that you can give to the relationship, you no longer have to wonder about what's in it for you, because you are going to be getting more, way more than you are putting in. Because once you invest in others, it is going to come back to you tenfold or 100-fold. So I know that society has programmed us to think about what's in it for me, but I'm telling you, begin to concentrate on what am I putting in. What do I come to the table with? Here is my contribution. Here is my contribution. And this is what I am willing to give. This is what I'm willing to do. Here is what I am doing for this. And don't think about yourself, but think about the other people there or the other person in the relationship. Here is what I can do for them. Now, the next thing I want us to look on now is to look on what you are going to be doing to commit to making the connection. I have shared some things that I have done in the past and what I have worked for me. You heard the caller also mention about the things that's worked for her and the things that she no longer is going to be doing or doing. And you have to be aware, so aware of who you are and your values, and know the things that you are going to be able to do. One of the things that I am doing to stay committed to making a balanced connection, I'm going to start with my eating habits. I am eating so different now. I'm consuming a lot of raw foods, and I'm going to share some of the things that I am eating. I eat strawberries, I eat apples, sometimes I eat, sometimes I juice the apples, I do blueberries, I do grapefruits, I do pears, I do oranges, I do boysenberries, I do papaya, I do the dry cranberries, I put that in my salad. I like to do that on my salad. I do cantaloupe, I do watermelon, I do honeydew. I do cactus pears. I love and I do mangoes. I do grapes, bananas. I do dried fruits. I do the dates. I do some prunes. I do figs. Those are the dried ones. I do almond. I do walnuts. I do pine nuts. I do dried coconuts. I cut the dry coconut and I put it in the freezer and I take it out and I use that as a snack as well. So I love that. So those are some of the things that the fruits I'm doing. And I am doing a lot of vegetables. I'm doing I'm blanching and I roast. For example, yesterday I roasted some Brussels sprouts with lots of garlic and a little olive oil, lots of garlic. And some yellow onions. After I roasted the Brussels sprout, I spin the onions in, and I didn't think I did enough of the Brussels sprout, so I added some fresh broccoli to that. So I roasted that, and that was what my dinner was. So I do watercress. I do broccoli, I do cabbage, I do carrots, celery, collard greens, I do eggplants, I do green beans, kale, leeks, mushroom, okras, romaine lettuce, and there's another lettuce I sell. It's fine leaf. I do a lot of the spring greens. I do spinach. Sometimes I do callaloo. There's no fresh callaloo. If you are from the West Indies, you know what callaloo is. We do zucchinis. I do zucchini, turnips, and tomato as well. I bought a couple cans of the Callaloo, and I really didn't like it. So I'm going to wait until I get some fresh Callaloo, and that's what I'm going to add to my diet. I have done avocado. I love avocado. Sometimes I do the guacamole, and there are other times when I just sit and I just eat the avocado. You got to be careful with that because it's very high in fat. But I am feeling good about my eating. My friend introduced me to black rice. So I'm reading up more about that and to find out how to include that in my diet. I'm also doing a lot of sweet potatoes. I bought the sweet potato. I clean them, I peel them, and I put them in my freezer. And I take them out and cook it when I want to cook it. I do my my hummus, and I do my tabbouleh. So this is one Jamaican girl who is eating and making everybody's food. Most of the vegetables in the Asian market I'm now accustomed to and eating. Those that I weren't accustomed to be eating and cooking, I made sure I asked the lady in the Asian market what they were and how to cook them, and she guided me with that. So I'm doing that. I'm still a work in progress with my exercise. My friend and I, we walk, and we're going to start walking. I am going to be doing my bicycle, riding my bicycle. And I have a little trampoline. I have a small trampoline, which I am going to be using. So that's what I do for my diet and my exercise. I'm feeling good. People tell me I look good. I'm committed to my journaling, my journal book, my vision book, my vision board, my journal, and that helps me to empty out and to leave room for more creative thoughts to flow. So we have 17 minutes remaining, and I still encourage you, if you still have something to talk about, you can still call in 646-915-8166. If you live in the Danbury, New Milford, New Fairfield, Brewster area, and you are willing to volunteer, I am looking for some volunteer for the TV show. You get the training to do work on lights and all aspects of taping a TV show. You get a free 12-hour training, not at one time, at six different times. I think it's 2 hours a week. And you get a certificate too. So it's good training and good knowledge and information that you'll be able to include on your resume, and it helps to make you more marketable. So if you are in the area, I want you to go on my Facebook page and send me a message about you wanting to volunteer, or you can email me at dynamicdaphne@aol.com. That's dynamicdaphne@aol.com. If you're looking to volunteer for the TV show. And I'm also looking for a producer for the radio show to help out here. So if you have any interest in that, go on the radio site right here on Blog Talk Radio. Send me an inbox message and let me know that you're interested in being a producer. First, listen to some of the episodes of the show and to make sure you are in support of the things that I do, because you don't want for me to go into giving you information and, you know, we getting into all of this and you don't support what I do. So look and make sure, because it's like to be the producer, it's like a relationship. It's a union. We need to be on one accord. I remember I had interviewed a woman once, and her resume was okay, and we had the interview, and it was good. And she was excited about the work, what I was doing, and she wanted to be a part of that. However, when her husband listened to my show, he said it was too spiritual, and he did not want her to be part of that. And I was glad that that unfolded before she started the position, because we need to be on one accord. We don't need any conflict on here when we are doing. So if you believe and support the work that I am doing, let me hear from you, because I'm looking for a producer to do the show here alongside with me and some other things. And I would really, really, really love to talk with you. So again, I want to remind you that I'm on the air every Wednesday morning, 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, and on Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Sundays, I'm always looking for stories that deals with overcoming adversities or any other component of empowerment or anything that's going on in your life and you have a story to share. I would love to speak with you, have a pre-show conversation, and to see how we could get into a conversation that will help to empower and enlighten other people's lives. And on Wednesday, we deal with the education, inspiration, empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. So if you fall in any of that category, reach out to me. I am always here looking to have you share your story with my listeners. And if you if you believe in the work that I'm doing, we appreciate and accept your donation to help us serve you better and to help reach the people that we reach around the world. So again, I just pray that today you are able to make the connection based on the conversation that we had here on this show. I know a lot of valid information came out from not only myself, but also from the caller that had called in and just so richly investing in each of you. Ask yourself the question, have I yet made the connection? If you get the answer no, you then need to ask yourself, when am I going to set the time aside to make the commitment to make the connection? We are almost 6 months out of the year, and we need to make the connection now. We cannot wait any longer. We have sat on the sidelines long enough. We must get up and take action. The only person that is standing in your way, it's the person looking back at you when you stand in front of the mirror. So be bold. Look that person in the eyes. and say enough is enough. I am free to make the connection. I am free to soar. I am moving ahead whether you like it or not. So move out of my way. Move out of my way and support my action. Because I know if it is to be, it is up to me. And I have made the decision that the buck stops here and my new beginning is right now. I will not allow you to prevent me from making the connection. I will not allow you to hold me hostage. I will not allow you to call the shots in my life because I was and I am created for greatness. I am now committed to living a balanced, rewarding, and fulfilling life, both emotionally, physically, and spiritually. The relationships that I will become part of are only those relationships that I can add value to. I will not go into the relationships with the conversation about what's in it for me. Instead, I will enter these relationships with a clear vision of what I will contribute to these relationships. I will live my life every day full of joy, happiness, fun, and laughter. As an entrepreneur, it is the right thing to do for me, because unless I can live a fun-filled life with joy and laughter, I will succumb to all the stresses that entrepreneurship present. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and this is my new focus. I am now committed to creating my vision book, on my vision board. I am committed to journaling the result that I want to commit to. I know that I am accepted through Christ for a higher calling, and nothing will prevent me from manifesting that which I am called to do. I attract the best. I exude only the best. Mediocrity is not part of who I am. I will invest more in me. I will acquire the knowledge that is needed to support the calling that I am called to. I will read more. I will do more quiet time. I will begin to invest in me, in the result that I want. I will invest into the tools that is required for me to give the best. I will surround myself only with people of like mind, people who is willing to guide me and to protect me, people who will allow us to have powerful brainstorming dialogue, that we will continue to add value to the world that we are a part of. We know that it is a privilege to be part of this environment, and we will do that which we can do to sustain the longevity of this environment. I will affirm and I will thank my Creator for giving me this awesome task, that I can be among the privileged that help to lift up the banner high, the banner of brilliance, the banner of excellence, the banner of abundance, and the banner of prosperity. I want to just thank you, for those of you who listened live, for the caller who called in. I want to thank you for your contribution. I know that now you have made the commitment to make the connection. Nothing is going to stop you from living your destiny that you were called for. See you on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and again on next Wednesday. Stay blessed and stay true to your connection. This is your host, Dynamic Daphne, saying so long. I love you and God bless you.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called with a great call.
folks find your card so I can write whatever we are seeing on the card. Yeah, go ahead. July the 11th through the 31st, August the 2nd through the 22nd. You live in Middlebury, right?
Right, and
hold on.
So what dates are the trips with the during that period of time that the children would be going on?
Hold on a minute. Let me find your card for it. Different. I have to go find. First, I have to know what month you're interested in because we do different.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess it kind of depends. You know, I'm just trying to get a sense of which. Well, why don't you give me July 1st and then August?
Oh, wait. I have to find the card first. What's your child's name again?
Francesca.
I have a lot of cards to go through, so
I understand. No problem.
That's all right.
Jessica Holland.
Collins, yeah. I just, oops. Oh, boy. Hold on a minute. I was doing my radio show.